Me this morning. I'm here really to talk to you about CAP. It was good to hear that some of you know about it, but for the rest of you, it's going to be probably quite a challenge as you hear some of the facts about it. I've been working as a volunteer with CAP since 2019. I trained initially as a deck coach in their lovely offices in Bradford, and if anybody has ever known anything what it's like to work in a totally Christian organisation, I can tell you their head office in Bradford is just amazing. You are just so aware of the presence of God. They start every day with prayer. They worship together. It's just like every office should be. I just wish every office would like them. It's a lovely place to be. Once I'd finished my training as a debt coach, I eventually moved on to become debt centre manager in Horsham, where I'm from, until last year when I moved across to my present role, which is called a community link coordinator. Don't ask me what it means. I think they made up the title to fit in with people like me, they didn't know what to do with. My job basically as a community link coordinator is to talk to the referral agencies and other churches about the work of CAP. So I talk to people like the Job Centre, Citizens Advice, housing associations, YMCA, people that we get referrals from. It's lovely to go and talk to those people, particularly those that, in some ways, like Citizens Advice, who are serving the community. I feel there's a real sense of bonding in that way. It's very special. But my other role with CAP is to be a CAP speaker. And when CAP asked you to be a CAP speaker, they put you through a little bit of training, particularly your ability to talk to people, to communicate with them and not be a bit boring and talk like this all the time so that nobody really enjoys what you're doing. I am normally a bit waving hands around, so I got on okay with that. The trouble is with CAP is that they like us to use a prescribed script, and I have the script here. Now, it's fine when you've been doing it a long time, you know it. The previous script I had, in all fairness, was a little bit boring, and I noticed more people were studying their eyelids than were listening to me. So I decided the best thing to do was to say to CAP lot, can I change it? And they said, fine, you know, we trust you, we know you. As long as you finish up with the call at the end, that's great. So I did my own talk, which is lovely because it's all the stuff I've got in my head and I can maintain eye contact. 3 weeks ago, they gave us a new script and it's too much for me to learn on this period of time. So please bear with me if I have to spend an awful lot of time looking at the notes rather than looking at you. So there's more opportunity for you to study your eyelids and look at me because I won't be watching you. But we do what we can. So you've had the Bible reading, and thank you, Gareth, for doing that. That's special. In the Gospels, there are many stories of Jesus having close encounters with people. You probably know some of the stories quite well. The story of the blind man, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the woman at the well. They're all well known. Stories with Jesus actually talking to people face to face. Most of these close encounters were very personal. They all revealed to us Christ's gift of discernment. He saw and understood the deepest needs of the people he met, and then willingly and lovingly he met those needs. He treated people with respect and dignity, especially with those who were not used to receiving it. He was kind. In every case, he made God's love real in the life of the person that he was meeting. Jesus saw their potential, not just their current situation. And what was the common outcome of all these encounters? Transformation. God's love in Jesus brought hope and healing. God's love in Jesus gave purpose and perspective. God's love gave people hope and released their potential for the future. Transformation is what Christians Against Poverty and the church have been partnering together now for almost 30 years. transformation to those we serve, and people who find themselves at the sharp edge of poverty and debt. Could I have a next slide up, please? Thank you. Keep going. And the next. That's the one. Bless you. CAP is there for the 2.8 million people in the UK who have to borrow money just to pay for household bills. The 1 in 10 adults who lose sleep every week because of their finances. Or the almost 1 in 5 adults who skip meals each month because they can't afford enough food. I don't know much about Woodingdean. It seems a nice, pleasant place, a very bit rural, nice and friendly. There will be many people in Woodingdean who are struggling financially. People you know, there may be people within this room today who are struggling. Many people are too ashamed to admit it. They don't like to admit that they can't cope. We need to serve them. We need to reach them. Poverty like this has an impact on every part of people's lives. I'll give you a few quotes from real people who've experienced poverty firsthand. To go from a lively, bustling family home to a tiny, lonely flat, from a healthy bank balance to tens of thousands of pounds worth of debt, it affected my mental health massively. I just wanted to draw the curtains and hide away in the dark. Most of my debt was from buying food on a credit card. It's a choice. Put on a card and feed your kids, or sit there and go hungry. Debt destroys everything. Your relationships, your mental health, your confidence. It creeps up and devastates your life. Poverty steals hope and dignity from those who are most vulnerable every day. But it does not have the final work, because God is working through his church to bring transformation. This transformation, like those encounters with Jesus, comes in the form of face-to-face encounters. CAP partners with churches who are inspired by the example of Jesus to serve those in our society through the provision of expert financial advice, emotional, practical, and spiritual support for as long as it takes, and an invitation to the warmth and love of a church community. Could I have the next slide, please? That's the one. A few facts for you. Through churches partnering with CAP last year alone, these face-to-face encounters have meant that 316 people responded to Jesus for the first time or recommitted their life to following Jesus. Okay, 638 households received emergency aid, such as food shops and fuel vouchers, where they desperately needed essentials. 2,436 people became debt-free. 60 church leaders and volunteers have been equipped through the Church and Community Transformation Initiative. 1,036 money coaching workshops were delivered. 123 job clubs and 146 life skills groups were run to help people better manage their finances, find work and live well, even with a low income. I'll give you some more stats later. I love stats, because stats we can relate to. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about a couple of close encounters that Jesus had with people who needed him. We're also going to hear how, through local churches partnered with CAP, God is continuing to transform lives of people in need. As we reflect on this, we can also remind ourselves that this same transforming love is there for us when we find ourselves trapped by the experiences of the past, the pain of the present, and the fear of the future. I'd like to share a very personal experience of this. We often judge people by what we see on the outside, and we don't know much about the past. In 1990, get my dates right, 1991, I went through a High Court case through a partnership dispute with an ex-business partner, which left me in a lot of financial problems. And ultimately, in 1995, I was forced into bankruptcy, by which time the debt I owed was almost £250,000. This is one of the reasons I do this job, because I go to see people that have had debts of £3,000, £4,000, £5,000, £10,000. I say, that all? As you surprising how much it puts people's minds at rest to know when you've been there, because I know what it's like to feel embarrassed, to feel ashamed, to feel frightened. I didn't understand the law. I thought, if I can't pay this debt, I'm going to go to prison. I'd only recently got married. How's my wife going to cope? Are they going to take my house? Are they going to take my car? Even more important, are they going to take my golf clubs? I just had a new set of golf clubs a year before for my kids that bought for my birthday, and I didn't want to lose those. It sounds trivial, but it was painful. I was embarrassed to let people know they thought this successful businessman couldn't manage, couldn't cope. So I know how people feel. You don't see it on the outside, but inside they're screwed up, and it affects every single thing you do. It's important for us to realise that. You might see people look smiley and happy. You don't know what they're like on the inside, and they're trying to hide the embarrassment that they can't afford to feed their kids. They can't afford to send their kids on a school outing because they can't afford the couple of quid for the cost or whatever. Little things, and that gets passed on to the rest of the family. Let's look at a couple of encounters now. If I have the next slide, please. Right, yeah. Jesus made time and space for everyone. Let's tell you this little story of the man by the pool of Bethesda. Inside the city near the church, this is John 5, 2 to 8, if you want to look it up on your own Bibles. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I've no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Here, Jesus makes the time and space to listen to the man's story, to understand his situation. He hears the man's sadness, maybe even his self-pity, how defeated he must have felt, and how he possibly blames others for his pain. His challenges went deeper than just not being able to walk. We know that he faced social poverty and isolation because he had no one to put him in the pool for healing. And he was most likely experiencing poverty in every way, spiritually, socially, personally, and materially. I don't know if ever any of you watched The Chosen. It's a few seasons ago. It's a lovely series. It's a Christian series. It's based on the Gospels. But a few years ago now, they did the story of this. And in my mind, I can just see Jesus reaching out to this poor man. He didn't know who Jesus was, but my goodness, he found out very quickly. It's exciting. It's exciting when you see what Jesus can do in people's lives. Notice how Jesus listens and doesn't judge. Instead, he's curious. He asks questions. "Do you want to be healed?" He has empathy and compassion to understand how the man has been ground down by his situation. As person after person walks by without offering help or even a kind word, he meets the man where he is, and he releases him from the limitations of the past, pain of the present, and restores him to a deeper hope for the future. Like the life of this man, living a life of debt has many implications, more than just financial ones. Over half of CAP clients report being afraid to leave their homes. Over 60% were afraid of a knock on the door, and nearly 9 in 10 are losing sleep. The church alongside CAP meets people in all their poverty, material, social and spiritual. I'll come on a little bit later to the way the CAP works, because I've seen people who are scared, literally scared. That knock on the door when the bailiff comes. They don't know what it means. They don't know what it's like, but they're afraid that everything's going to go. They don't realise that half the time, in fact, most of the time, the people knocking on the door have no right to be there. Sadly, bailiffs, or enforcement agents, as they're properly referred to these days, can be quite aggressive. I heard a story of a lady in a village near us. It was a lady bailiff. She knocked on the door and said, "You know, I'm coming to take all your stuff." The person was petrified. What are they going to take? What can they do? She didn't let her in, fortunately, because you never let them in unless they've got a court order. If they don't have a court order, they have no right to come in. But people don't know that. Can I just come in and have a cup of tea? We'll chat about it. Once you let them through the door, you give them rights and authority to do things. So you speak to them through the letterbox. You don't let them in. But then they get aggressive. Right, if you won't let me in, I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm going to bring a furniture van and we're going to take everything away. People say things like that. It's lies, it's untruths, but it scares people. That's the facts that many, many people live with. And that's just the easy bits. Let's tell you another story. Mark 7:24-30, the Syrophoenician woman. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. Immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. In almost every situation, this encounter should never have happened. As a devout rabbi, Jesus should never have been there on foreign soil, and certainly not talking to a Gentile woman. The whole encounter would have been seen as unclean by his fellow Jews, because she was a Gentile. And yet there he was, face to face, engaging in deep conversation with her, learning about her daughter who'd been possessed with an unclean spirit. Jesus asked her a rhetorical question about dogs and bread. He was saying, "If I help you, you know what they'll say, don't you?" But the woman's response is legendary. "Even the dogs under the table get to eat the crumbs." She was willing to receive whatever Jesus was offering. And Jesus, for his part, loves to overcome every taboo, every barrier of race, reputation, religion, gender, geography, prejudice and tradition, just to talk with her. In this close encounter, Jesus shows that she is within God's grace, because no one is excluded. He meets this woman where she is, and he releases her from the pain of the present and ushers her hope into the future. If we are called to transformation, excuse me, in the Jesus way, this encounter tells us that everyone is in. God's transforming love and grace is here for everyone and for every situation. excuse me. No matter how complicated or how many barriers or taboos there might be, Jesus demonstrates that we must love our way through them all. I'm going to show you a video in just a moment, but I want to introduce you to a lady called Bia. In June 2023, Bia and her husband were made redundant. their world was turned upside down. They had gone from steady income and good financial standings to no jobs and falling behind on payments. Bea began to experience severe anxiety and suicidal thoughts. I've heard people like that. It's scary. She visited her GP about this, and on her way home, she saw a sign that read, "Hope." Realising she had lost all hope and was in desperate need of some, Bea plucked up courage and stepped into the Hope Centre in Hanforth, the town she lived. She was overwhelmed by the warm welcome she received from everyone and felt a lightness she had not experienced ever. Bea was introduced to CAP for expert debt advice and support. Her debt coach, Barney, guided Bea and her husband through the whole process of their debt relief order, and they are now debt-free. Bea is now a befriender and has a renewed sense of faith in God. If we could play the video, please, and I'll move out the way so you can all see the screen.
Ever since I was younger, I've always suffered with anxiety and really, really low moods. My way of dealing with it was I'd try and do it, and if I couldn't do it, I'd get angry at myself that I couldn't do it. Then it'd build onto something else. Well, you're no good at that, you're no good at that. Then the negativeness would come in, which was really, really hard. My name's Bernice. Everybody calls me B for short. I'm married to my husband, Keith. Last June, I was really in a poorly state. I was doing the job, but there wasn't enough money coming in. My husband was struggling himself with arthritis, but my mental health deteriorated, and then being told we'd be made redundant. So I was scared of being on the streets. I was scared of thinking, I'm gonna lose our home. My husband was like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And I'm like, Keith, I can't think. My anxiety would be through the roof. My head would be banging. I feel sick. I'm gonna cry now. I'm so sorry. It was so hard. And then me and Keith were at each other and I said, we shouldn't have got together, we shouldn't have got married, we wouldn't have had all this. And I'm so sorry, I'm going to cry, I don't know why I'm crying, I'm so sorry. It just broke me down. And poor Keith, I've never seen him so low. And that was just because of money. And we tried to figure out if we were entitled to anything, if we could get anything, and nobody could give us any information, nobody would tell us anything. So we're in the dark because we've always been workers, we've never had to ask for money, we've always worked. But I just couldn't figure it out. And I remember my mental health nurses saying to me, why do you punish yourself thinking you can't do that? But that's how my anxiety and my depression works. I seem to kick myself when I'm down. Went back on, started on medication for antidepressants. And had a good chat with my doctor. I just cried all day. She was brilliant. As I was coming out, my doctor's is just over the road from the church, and normally I walk around the pathway, but today, on that day, I walked through the churchyard, just about to walk away. I didn't know what it was at the time, but something made me turn back and go, no, come on, B, look at it again. And I looked at it and I went, it says hope. And I just had this realisation that I'd lost all my hope. And that's what I needed. I remember Barney just saying, hello, welcome to Hope. And I just burst into tears. I couldn't stop crying. And I thought, oh, I'm so, I remember saying, I'm so sorry. And there was like, it's okay. Just cry. It's okay. You've come to a safe place. You've come to somewhere where you can just relax, you know. When it's been a rainy day and the sun comes out, that's how it felt. Like we'd come out the dark into the light. So Barney came round and explained what CAP do, and he explained about all the paperwork. We were told that we could get a debt relief order because we're in that much debt and we were on benefits and getting universal credits. And also we were told a calculation of how much extra we could get. CAP sorted it all out. They were ringing us in between, saying they were in the middle of it, and they were constantly in touch with us. Amazing people, you know, I can't thank them enough. And then we got the debt relief order, and it meant that we were clear of debt. And it was just such an amazing thing. It's just like this amazing feeling of relief and like a lift, you know. I've just become a befriender with CAP, which I'm excited about. I've done other courses as well, with CAP as well. I did the life skills one, which was another good one. I've learned to be able to grow again. I've learned to say, you know what, B, you're all right, girl. You know, you're fine. People are happy with you. Your family love you. All this love you've got around you, which you didn't think you had. We went through all that hardship, and then suddenly that hardship's gone, and it meant we could go forward, you know, but in a better place together.
Poverty steals, God restores. What part will you play? Let's end UK poverty together. Pray, campaign, donate.
That's one of many testimonies that CAP get every year. It's special, but that's a real person talking about real needs. When CAP go through the process and they get someone debt-free, they phone up the person and give them the news. CAP see about 200 people a month becoming debt-free. And when they phone up, the whole office gets excited. They blow whistles, and they used to ring the fire alarm, but that was a bit dangerous. But they blow whistles and play harmonicas. If you think that's happening 200 times a month, it must be the noisiest office in the country. They get excited, and I've got excited when I've seen some of my clients become debt-free. The relief when you actually physically go to see them the first time, someone said, it feels like you've taken a weight off my shoulder because I'm carrying it on my own, and now I know I'm not alone. And that's a wonderful feeling. In the footsteps of Jesus, Barney, B's debt coach, and thousands like him love and serve those who find themselves worn down by debt and poverty, freeing them into their God-given potential for the future. They're doing what Jesus did, meeting people face to face and loving them and seeing them transformed. Churches bringing an end to debt and poverty across the UK are seeing that there is nothing that poverty steals that God cannot restore. With CAP partnering them, they are working with people who have complex challenges that make it hard to escape poverty, such as poor mental health, relationship breakdown, addiction, experience of abuse and disability, amongst others. They approach every person with care and compassion, determined that there will be no barriers to God's love being shown in practical, emotional and spiritual ways. No barriers to clients seeing an end to their debt and restoring their financial dignity. No barriers in the welcome that people will receive through their local church. This takes us back to our first reading, when Jesus began a community based on love and service. Founded in the moment when Jesus, having his last meal with his friends, took a towel and a bowl of water, knelt down and washed their feet. Surely the most intimate, close encounter. They belonged to the body of Christ from that moment, but that white command came with a command to love and to serve each other, to have the kind of ministry of service that he had showed them. We know in Galatians chapter 2, Paul writing to them about his experiences from the elders in the Council of Jerusalem, said that the Council of Elders wanted him to remember the poor. He said, it was the very thing that I wanted to do. It's a biblical command to look after the poor. But also we've got in Matthew 28, you know, the Great Commission. We're all given a chance to, or given a command, all of us, not just those in authority, not just the leaders, all of us, to go and make disciples. The wonderful thing about CAP, and this is what I love, it's a bit, it's the easy bit for me, it's the only debt counselling national debt counselling organisation in the country that's overtly Christian. Some of you, if you know other organisation like that, will probably know Step Change. Step Change is, you know, it's fine. It's a big organisation. It's funded by government and by banks. But Step Change does everything online. If I'm going to see a client and I said, I want your paperwork, and she gives me 6 carrier bags full of unanswered correspondence going back years, I can't stick that in front of a computer and say, sort it. This is common. More people that we see have difficulties than those that are easy. You need this face-to-face encounter, and CAP are the only national debt counselling service that does face-to-face meetings in the client's own home, the one place they feel some degree of security. I know I've been to see people who will only go out of their house excuse me, when it's dark, 11, half past 11, 12 o'clock at night, so they don't meet people. They're scared of meeting people. That's not uncommon. Youngsters in their 20s who've got into a mess financially, probably living in some place on their own, and living in squalor, living in a terrible mess, because nobody really cares about them. The state sadly doesn't do an awful lot to help people in debt. It refers them to someone else. They need people who care, people who love them, people who will take them as they are, love them unconditionally, and go and see them as they are. This is what CAP does. CAP was set up in 1996, so next year we reach our 30th birthday. Since that time, CAP have seen over 20,000 people become debt-free. And that's going up, as I said earlier, by about 200 a month, another 2,500 every year. Because it's overtly Christian, when we go to see clients, the first thing we do when we see them is say, hey, I'm from such and such a church. This is my befriender. And we've always got to go with a befriender. This is my befriender who's from such and such a church, often the same church. We're here because we believe God loves you, and we want to show that love in a practical way. We may share a bit more about our faith, depends on how the client reacts. And at the end of each meeting, we offer to pray for them. In over 6 years, I've never seen a person not refuse prayer, even though when they have no particular faith whatsoever. So out of the 20,000 people that have become debt-free, okay, 1,000 will become Christians, but 19,000 have also received prayer. What do you think that's going to do? God sows seeds in people's lives. We have the opportunity to spread a bit of God's love. Maybe they reject it. Maybe they're not interested. Maybe they think, oh, I've got to accept this prayer because that's the price of you people looking after me. I don't care what it's for. We pray for them, and God does things. In our own church in Horsham now, we are seeing people coming along to church who have come through CAP. They've been shown love, they've been shown interest, they've been invited to CAP, they've been invited from CAP to church. Yeah, I'll come along and see what it's like. They meet the love that we've read about from, or we heard about from B's story. People showed them love and affection. CAP also run other courses. Yes, it's great to see people becoming debt-free. Keeping them debt-free is another challenge. Not many people, a lot of the people we dealt with, aren't very good at managing their money. So CAP ran a thing called a money coaching course. Like all other CAP courses, everything is totally free. There are no charges made. Money coaching is a very simple course, normally 3 or 4 evenings or afternoons, depends when you run them, just teaching people how to look after their finances, how to budget. It's practical, it's simple, and it works. We have a life skills course, which probably takes about 6 or 7 weeks. It tends to work well for elderly people who like to get alongside and have a little chat, people who want a bit of companionship, bit of friendship, struggling to manage what they've got. It will teach them some basic things. How to shop well, how to cook well, how to use your money well, how to perhaps bulk bulk buy, bulk shop, bulk cook, all the sort of things that people who've been around a bit have learnt how to do to make their money go well. Not just to buy instant ready meals because they're easy, but maybe not the best nutritional and certainly not always the most cost-effective way. It's a practical course. CAP run that. They also run a job club. It's one course we don't run as our own particular church. We haven't got anyone who wants to do it. But a job club, again, for those churches that run it, teaches people who are looking for a job how to do a CV, interview technique, how to write, what to do, how to approach jobs, where to look for jobs. It's very practical, and lots of people find from that they get a job. It works. These are all free courses at CAP run. Practical skills, bring them into the church, bring them into a community of people. That's my heart's desire. I'd rather talk about Jesus than anything, frankly, but CAP comes a pretty good second because it is 100% biblical. There are over, I have to work at getting the numbers right now, there are about 250 CAP offices around the country. Those 250 offices are served by about 800 churches across the country. Those 800 churches are served by about 3,000 or so volunteers, just like me, who give their time to serve the lost, the needy, the hungry, the poor, the homeless. It's not glamorous. Sometimes it's hard work going to see some of the people. Sometimes they're very crusty, very bitter, and even though you're trying to help them, all they do is complain and complain. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for them. He loves them. And it's not my role to say, I'm going to judge that person because Jesus doesn't. My job is to look after them. I found it hard at times, I will be honest with you. Some of my lady colleagues are a lot better at it than I am. I don't like talking to people who are bitter and angry and moan and complain, but they still need my help, and we still give them that help. So, is CAP the best solution? I can say so, and the people that work from CAP can say so, but there's another person who... many of you know, if you've heard of Martin Lewis, the money man, lots of people have heard of him. They like his TV programs, his radio programs. Martin is not a Christian, but he's been a friend of CAP for a long time. And he says publicly and on his website, CAP is unsurpassed with the debt help it gives to people across the country. Unsurpassed. That means there's no one better, Step Change or any other organisation. And I will say, yippee for CAP. We're number one. We're the best. And if someone who's not a Christian can say that, and let's face it, he's a bit of an expert on looking after money, it carries a lot of clout. I've in fact seen clients who I've been trying to get them to sign bits of paperwork, and I'm not sure about this and whatever. While they're talking about it, I just happened to mention Martin Lewis. Martin Lewis? Oh, Martin Lewis says it's right. Oh, if Martin Lewis says it's right, I'll sign. That's nice. I like that. Use anything to get through. The call to serve the community isn't just for a few people that work for CAP, is for every follower of Jesus, every one of us. For all of us who are part of the body of Christ, we are called to be making that divine and transforming love of Jesus known to everyone. This might be in the face-to-face encounters that we have, or it might be ways that are challenging and uncomfortable, and they are sometimes. Today, I want to invite you to be part of a movement of people that supports all the church does to transform lives, put an end to UK poverty. We do this by helping people get back into employment, helping them with better ways to manage their finances and skills to help them navigate the different seasons of life, and to help those in debt become debt-free. Every single person in this room can make a difference by taking action today. Prayer. Prayer's powerful. Prayer changes things. You can help to see an end of poverty by signing up to receive CAP's free prayer diary, or just talking to local CAP offices. There's a CAP office in Brighton. I think they're based in Holland Road Baptist Church. I think that's their head office. Find out what they want. What are you looking for prayer for? Every one of you can pray for work of CAP. Pray for the enough resources, enough people, enough favour with the various authorities to do things like that. That's important. Maybe you want to help and get involved personally, as corporately as a church. Every time we go to see a client, as debt coaches, we have to take a befriender with us. A befriender is literally what it says. It's someone who befriends the client. The debt coach does all the spade work, all the talking, all the chatting, filling in all the forms and everything else. And the befriender sometimes just sits there and looks stupid, wondering what I'm here for. But they're picking up the vibes of the person. They're looking at the person themselves. And they're finding out where that person is struggling. While the debt coach is filling in forms on his laptop and whatever, they might be talking to the person, said, "You okay? You seem to be struggling." "Well, I've got a debt relief, I've got a court order against me, and a bit nervous about going up there. Would you like me to go with you?" "Would you? You sure you don't mind?" "Of course I'll come with you. I've got to open a new bank account. I'll come with you." Or, "Don't see many people and I haven't got many friends. Look, why don't we go out for a coffee? Tell you what, I know there's a good church down the road that all the time, every Tuesday and Thursday, they have a coffee morning. It's free. Come along, have a bit of coffee and have a bit of free cake." Really? A lot of people need to know these things are around. That's the role of a befriender. You might be able to do that. You can do that yourselves. If any of you fancy being a befriender, fine. Phone up CAP at Holland Road or any other church that you know that run CAP office and say, "Can I give you a bit of my time?" You can tell them how much time you've got and they will say, "Fine, come along, we'd love your help." They'll never turn you down. Maybe you'd like to be a debt coach. Hey, that's fun. The CAP will take you, the training when I did it, we had to go up to Bradford to their old office. It was lovely being, lovely. Excuse me, let's do, I brought this to drink it, I keep forgetting. Yeah. All CAP training now is done online, with very limited meetings up in Bradford. But you'll meet lovely people, you'll be given all the skills you need, and after 2, 3, 4 months of training, they'll let you loose on the public. It's great fun, I love doing it, in spite of the challenges of some people, because you see the pleasure of seeing people become debt-free. Maybe you'd want to be run a money coaching course. Teaching online takes 2 or 3 hours. You can run the course. It's fun. It's friendly. You can invite people that you know that might want it. Even people in your own church who are struggling with their finances. Hey, let's see if we can help you manage your finances better. You might be one of running the life skills course. Takes a bit more, but it's all straightforward. All the training CAP do, it's all free, and it will bless you. Maybe you'd like to do that as an individual. Maybe, and when your new man comes up there, you might need to pigeonhole him and say, "Hey, look, we've heard this wacky bloke from CAP come and talk to us, and we'd quite like to be a CAP church. We'd like to do something as a church. Can we do something?" "Sure. CAP would love to have you have more churches. There's 250 churches, 250 CAP offices and 800 churches across the country, but there's an awful lot of churches that aren't doing it. I don't know that there's a CAP centre in Wooding Dean or Salt Dean or Roe Dean or any other dean. Maybe you could be a CAP centre. Maybe you could be running that. Think about it. Pray about it. All of these things are very helpful. Every single person can make a difference. It doesn't matter how much time you've got available. It's easy for me. I'm retired, have been for a long, long time. I've got more time. Some people have only got a few hours a week, but if you've got some time to give, CAP will use it in some way or another. And you can help financially. When CAP started in 1996, there was just John Kirkby, the founder, and his wife Lizzie, and they had a working capital of £10. last year's budget, CAP head office had over 300 FCA accredited people working there, serving all these lovely people that I've talked about, the many offices, and their annual budget now is £14 million. It costs a lot of money to serve the community. Maybe you can help. Maybe you can help as a church. You'd like to give something as a church. I have forms here for people who say, I'm not sure if I can do very much, but maybe as a church we become there. The last CAP talk I did, the church there supports three charities, one international, one national, and one local. And CAP's their national charity. And they support CAP each month by sending some money each month to CAP. That's the way they use their money. Maybe you want to do that. Individually, CAP tries to encourage everyone that works with them and everybody hears. Would you like to become a supporter? CAP calls them life changers. And there are over 29,000 life changers in the country who support CAP financially every month. For as little as a few pounds a month to as much as you want. The biggest figure I've heard so far is what one person supports CAP to the tune of £500 a month. I'd love to have a few of those in our church, I tell you, they'd be special. But hey, whether it's £5, £10, £15, £20, £50, whatever you can afford, every penny you help goes towards CAP meeting their needs and doing that. I have a little table at the back there with some forms. If someone would like to be a life changer, I've got some forms you can fill in and I'll take them back and you can say, hey, great. And if you want to become a life changer, for every one of you, I'll give you this special little book. It's called God in Action. It's a book produced by the Bible Society in conjunction with CAP, talking about the active work of CAP. For everybody who's interested in CAP, don't know much about it, but just interested, I've got another little book, A Story We Can't Ignore. This is about the history of CAP and one or two other testimonies, like we heard of the one with B earlier. These copies are available for anyone. They're all free. If you just want to know more about CAP, come and take one of these books. I've got some other literature up the back there, showing some of the posters of the things we do. And I'd be happy to talk to any of you about the work of CAP. But what I'd say to you is, don't just say, that was interesting. Who's speaking next week? Think about it. Pray about it. Is God calling you? Is God tugging on your heartstrings right now? Is God challenging you right now? I can't make you do things. The only person that can do that is Jesus. But Jesus might say, can you afford a few quid each month? However tight your budget is, can you afford to do this? Would you like to give of your time, your skills, to serve the poor? I just leave that with you. I'll be at the back. I'll talk to anyone. I've got envelopes. If people say, look, I can't afford a monthly gift, but I've got a few quid, I can give you something there, fine. I've got an envelope you can fill, and I'll get that up to CAP as well. I make no bones about asking for money. You know, 14 million is a lot of money we've got to find, and it's got to come from somewhere. But the more people that are supporting CAP, the more people they can serve. There's an incredible demand out there. Far more people than any of us give credit for. They need your help. So please give it some prayerful thought. Thank you for giving me this time to serve you. I'm sorry if I have to keep reading all the stuff instead of looking at you. I didn't see too many eyes that were nodding off, which is pretty good for me, because my voice isn't always the most exciting to listen to. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about CAP. Thank you for listening. God bless you all.